Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for your mighty word. We thank you and praise you that your word is forever settled in heaven. It makes no difference what we think. It's only your word that counts. Father, thank you for the written word of the living God. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time in history when we have this magnificent book that we can read and study. And that's the way we come to know you. Father, I ask you to bless the word today as it goes out. As everyone hears what your word says, may it ring in their hearts that they may know that you are God and you mean what you say. So, Father, open our understanding to your mighty word as we read it and study it today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk about a subject today that is a very, very controversial issue. But since it is so controversial, I'm going to tell you what the Word says about it so you can make your own decision. Now, a lot of you, I know, will disagree. Some of you will agree and some of you will disagree with what I'm going to say today, even though it's going to be written in God's Word. That's kind of like divine healing. God's word is so clear to me that he provided divine health for all of those that obey him. I mean, I am convinced it's there. I had the privilege to walk in it, but a lot of people don't believe it. Even though I can show it to you in black or red and black and white, still people do not believe the written word of the living God. But it's always been like that from the beginning of time. I can go back in this book and see where the Israeli people, when God brought them out of Egypt and brought them over to the land of Canaan, he brought them out with many signs and miracles and wonders. And many of them didn't believe. Most of them didn't. But then I think about the apostles that walked with him for 3.5 years on the earth and saw his miracles and raising the dead and all the stuff they saw. Even Lazarus had been dead 4 days at the end after he died and arose again. Many doubted. So people haven't believed. Even though they see it, they don't believe it. So that's why I'm going to take you to the Word today, and I'm going to talk about a question that I've heard talked about so many times in my life. And as a pastor today, I have so many people ask me this question. My son, 25 years old, he got saved when he was 10. We went to church till he was 15 or 18 or 20. Then my husband and I got a divorce, and my son went wild after that, and he won't go to church. Now he's out there on drugs and alcohol, living with a girl out of wedlock. What about it? Is he saved or lost? If he dies, will he go to heaven or will he go to hell? Well, I'm going to let the Word of God answer that for you today. And when we get through looking at what we're looking at here, I'll show you two different ways that can go. That boy, he may still be a Christian at this point, probably is, depending on his walk with God. But does it mean that he's going to receive blessings on earth or cursings? No, if he really is a child of God and he's living in sin, he's going to reap the curses on this earth. And if he dies in that sin, it's scary what God says in his word. But I will show you these things. But one thing that so many people believe, once saved, always saved. It makes no difference what you do, once saved, always saved. Well, I'm going to let the Word of God speak for that today as I show you. And other people believe that if you're saved and you commit a sin, you're lost. And until you come and repent, you're lost. And if you died in that little sin, you're going to hell. But you come back and repent, and you're saved again. But if you go out next week and sin again, you're lost again. So you're saved, you're lost, you're saved, you're lost, you're saved, you're lost. One group teaches that, and the other group teaches that once you're saved, it makes no matter what you do, you are forever saved, and nothing can change that. Well, let's start off in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, this is talking about Jesus right here. And he says, and being made perfect. Now, Jesus was made perfect while he was here in a man. And Jesus being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Now, most people read that and stop right there and say, hey, that says he's the author of eternal salvation. So once I get saved, I'm always saved. But that's in the middle of a sentence. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What does that mean? If he became the author of eternal salvation, but only to them that obey. What if you don't obey? What if you break his rules? What if you fall away? Well, let's let the word speak for that. When you get a hold of these scriptures, if you believe the word of God, it will change your life and you will stop living in sin. Now, one thing I will tell you right here at the beginning of this series, to them that obey God, just like he says, he is the author of eternal salvation to them that obey. So if you're willing to walk in obedience to God's word, walk in love, do what the King says, I guarantee you have eternal salvation, and it is yours. But if you do other things, it's questionable. Now let's read on, since we see where he has become the author of eternal salvation to them that obey. In Hebrews 5:10 says, he's called of God as high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Well, that's the same thing wrong with the church today. We are hard. These things are hard to be uttered or spoken to people because people don't want to hear these things. They want to live by the flesh and not the spirit. So we haven't changed. Verse 12, for when for the time we ought to be teachers, we have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the word of God. In other words, you get to be a Christian. You begin to study the word. You ought to become a teacher of the word of God. But many people do not. And this is what he's saying here. And we become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Unfortunately, I was a babe in Christ far too many years. I mean, even after I became a Sunday school teacher and a deacon, I was still a babe and needed milk. I couldn't chew on this strong meat of the word. But now then, I've learned to chew on this meat pretty good. It's pretty tough stuff. In verse 13, he says, for everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, and he is a babe, a baby. Well, I was a baby far too long, but I finally decided to study to show myself approved unto God, and now then I am a workman that is in many cases rightly dividing the word of truth. I've tried my best to go by exactly what's written in God's mighty word. But he says strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who have by reason of our use our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now then, if you can take your senses and you can exercise those senses to discern both good and evil, then you're a full-grown, mature Christian. When the enemy comes to you and the enemy tries to convince you that a little bit of sin is okay and you yield to it, you're not a full age and a mature Christian. And this happens to so many men and women in the church today. 10, 20, 30 years of marriage, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 children later, all of a sudden, either the woman or the man, they don't love their mate anymore. They want a divorce. They want to go their own way. I can assure you, those people are babes in Christ. They have no knowledge of who they are. They have no knowledge of who the devil is. And they're totally yielding to the flesh. When you make a covenant with God, when you get married, it's forever. You know, then God tells both of you what to do. You're to love each other and you're to honor each other. The woman is to submit to the man. She is to respect him and honor him. He is to love her and he's to love her like Christ loved the church. And when they do that, you won't ever have a divorce. And whenever one of you have a bad day, you'll realize that everybody has bad days, and some days are better than others, but you'll still love the other one through the bad day. And when you come out on the other side, it will be good. But he says here that those of us that have strong meat will be able to exercise our senses, and we will be able to discern both good and evil. You will know what's good and you'll know what's evil, and you will do what's good and you will not do what's evil. In chapter 6, verse 1, he says, therefore, in other words, these people that we're fixing to talk about now are definitely those people that have learned how to chew on strong meat of the Word of God. And these are the basic principles that most Christians don't even know. But he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, these are the basic principles. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, I preached in a church here a few years ago, and some of the elderly ladies there, I spoke on faith, both in the morning service and the evening service, and they were amazed, absolutely amazed, that I spoke on faith and what it is. They said they'd been in church all their life and never heard a message directly about faith. Well, I told them, I said, you can't even get saved without faith. These are basic principles that we're supposed to know early on, and many of us never learned them. But these are the basic principles that we're supposed to know. And then as we get mature, we're supposed to leave these and go on to greater things. And it says of the doctrines of baptisms, we're supposed to lay aside these things now and go on under perfection. And the laying on of hands. The scripture says we're to lay hands on the sick and they are to get well. Most people in church today don't even know that. Or at least they never exercise that. But God clearly says in Mark 16, 17, and 18,
these teachings can be yours free and postpaid. Call us at 940-242-2106. Or contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. Remember, they're free and postpaid. Jesus is Lord.